visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O Comforter, draw near. Within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestow. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the one that Jesus promises that even though he will leave this earth, he ascends to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father to come again in glory and in judgment, that he will not leave us alone. We will not be bereft or estranged. That he will give us a comforter. He will give us a friend. He will give us a guide. He will give us an advocate. His own Spirit to come down like a dove, to come down like fire, to dwell with us, to dwell in us, to bind us together so that we can be his body. The gift of the Holy Spirit we celebrate on a Pentecost morning is a Spirit of divine love. Come down, O love divine, seek the soul of mine, visit it with thine own heart glowing. Come down, Holy Spirit, like a dove, like tongues of flame. My heart feels cold. Kindle it. It's gone down to embers. Blow on it until the fire starts to raise again. I'm feeling sort of empty. Fill me like only you can. I'm feeling kind of lonely or lost. Comfort me and direct me like only you know how. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus makes a promise to give us. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus says will work as a guarantee of your inheritance through him. As a guarantee, as a deposit, like money in the bank, that we are his children, sons and daughters. We are his heirs, grafted in to the vine, grafted in to the body, adopted in to the family. If there's ever any doubt, well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit says, yes, it's true. For the Holy Spirit comes down as divine love. Divine love. We talked about love even as recently as last week with Mother's Day as being one of those cool words that is both noun and verb. It is both subject and action. Love is a thing to share, but it is also an action that you engage in, something that you do. We started off our Easter season, the morning of the resurrection, which the calendar happened to put on April Fool's Day. Do you remember that sermon at all? I talked about the classical distinctions between drama and comedy. Remember that? A little obscure, a little odd. But I was saying that, you know, because on this day where we're sort of thinking about playing jokes and funny things and you know, doing something to make everybody laugh, that the gospel itself, under these classical terms of drama and comedy, the gospel itself is a comedy. Our lives, because of Jesus, are a comedy. Now, that's not the ha-ha-ha kind of comedy. It is the comedy in a classical sense that says that the protagonist, the main character, the hero of the story, well, they fail. Or they die. Or they lose. Except they don't. They go to the lowest point, you think it's all over, but in the end of the story, all's well that ends well. The hero lives. The gospel is a comedy because it doesn't end on the cross. The cross leads to an empty tomb and a resurrected and glorified Jesus. Our lives because of Jesus are a comedy because they don't end at our own graves. But because of the resurrection of Christ, because of his grace and love, we too will be raised, and our lives don't end in death. Our lives continue on eternally with Him. We live. It's a comedy. Well, as I was trying to explain that, one of the references I made was Dante's great work, The Divine Comedy. And I'm not sure they even read that in schools anymore, but they should. And there's three books, and all together, it makes The Divine Comedy. Okay, so it ends in Paradiso. He's writing in Italian. So Paradiso, or paradise. Okay, so he goes on a guided tour of heaven. Now, below that, where does he go? Purgatorio. What does that mean? Purgatory. Now, in purgatory, these are actually saints saved by God, but who are being purified before they are prepared to enter into His near holy presence. So he goes on this little guided tour. And throughout heaven and or purgatory, he's kind of seeing in these symbolic ways, you know, human life and God's response and all these amazing things. And he starts his journey in book one. And if anybody actually read it in school, my guess is that's the only book he ever read. Inferno. Which is what? He takes a guided tour of hell. And so here are the condemned in death. And you remember anything about the story? You remember that hell is constructed in kind of like concentric circles. And he keeps going down, 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 down. And in the circles of hell, the lower you go, it's populated by the worst sins. So, like, if you're at the top level of hell, it's bad. But as you go lower, it gets worse. You know, the sins get more terrible, and some of the stories get really crazy. Now, this is why I'm bringing it up. I'm going somewhere. Trust me. He goes lower and lower and lower. Things get worse and worse and worse and worse. At the bottom level, there is Satan himself. The lowest, most wicked and evil part of the inferno. Anybody remember what it's like? It's frozen. It's not hot. It's cold. It's frozen solid. As a matter of fact, Satan himself can barely move because it's like he's locked up in ice. That's weird. Isn't heaven supposed, hell supposed to be hot and fiery and sulfur and brimstone and, it's bad. Why would it be so cold? Well, you get to the end of the last book, Paradiso, and you are reminded of what we read in the letter to the Hebrews, our Lord is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. He is love. And love is hot. Love is not cold. As a matter of fact, we know this intuitively because if we tell someone your love is cold, that is not a compliment. Is it? You've got a very cold heart. Love ya. We actually mean the opposite. If we tell someone that your heart is cold or my feelings are cold, what do we mean? It's very low. We feel far from you. They're not. But when we start talking about love, whether it's passionate love, whether it's just committed love, the deeper and stronger it is, don't we tend to use temperature terms? Oh, baby, she makes me feel hot. Or, my burning love for you. Okay? We know this. In terms of physics, more energy means more heat. Less energy, things slow down, means colder. Absolute zero means not only no heat, it means no movement, no energy, nothing. So think about this for a moment. The say one gets from God. Think of Dante's circles of hell. You don't get hotter and hotter and hotter, not if God himself is the source of life and light. Not if God himself is a consuming fire of divine love. The further away you get from the source of heat and light, the colder you get. So to move far away from God is to be colder in your heart, to be colder in your spirit, to be colder in your life. If you got up way too early and saw the royal wedding, you heard a sermon given by an Episcopalian. The presiding bishop, as a matter of fact, of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, who we pray for every Sunday, he was tasked to give that sermon. And we've got news reports all over the world talking about how good it was. You read through it, and he's talking about the power of love. And as I'm thinking about this on a day of Pentecost, connecting it to the sense of, come down, O love divine, and seek this soul of mine. That hymn that we might sing, because it's geared towards Pentecost, it's geared towards the Holy Spirit, it's geared towards the fulfillment, that the promise that Jesus has made. What's coming down in the fire? What's coming down in the love? What is the Holy Spirit being brought to us and through us? It is love. It is divine love. As Bishop Curry talked about at the royal wedding, we have this sense of love feeling soft and squishy and easy and nice. And love is strong. Love is powerful. Love is transformative. Love binds this world together. Love makes the world go round. I say this not only as a cheesy song lyrics you might have heard at some point. Let's go back to Dante for a second. You go to the very end of those three books, the very end of all of this work, the very end of guided tours through hell and purgatory and heaven itself, where you actually climb the mountain of heaven. And who is at the mountaintop other than the beatific vision of the actual person of God himself? And this entire work ends face to face with this consuming fire with a final line about he who is the love who made the stars. All that we know and see come from the power of love. For God to even say, let there be light in the beginning of creation, he who is love creates because of love and through love. From the beginning, it is the power of that divine love, that sacrificial love, that agape, that keratos, what we talk about when we get to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and we read it at something like a wedding, that it's not just the squishy stuff, it's not just the feeling stuff, it is the hard stuff, the strong stuff, the powerful stuff, the stuff that will change your life, the stuff that can change the world. The sacrificial love of God that prior to Jesus going to the cross, he says, no longer should you love each other like you love yourself. I want you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. And if there was any doubt, he goes to the cross to show it firsthand. This is what it looks like. So this love is power. That's what's coming down in the Holy Spirit. It's power, right? Well, what kind of power? Love power. Oh, love power. That sounds so cute. No! It's not cute love. This is strong love. This is powerful love. This is the sort of love. You know, you can have fluffy, soft, and cute love, and that's cool, and that's good. It's a gift. But it comes and goes and doesn't last. The sort of love I'm talking about is the sort of love that parents have when they get up way too early in the morning because they were up way too late last night, but they go to work, they punch a clock, they do what they need to do anyway. They're tired, they're sore, they're frustrated, the old back hurts or the knees hurt or whatever it is, but they still get up, they still make breakfast, they still get their kids dressed and they get them off to school. That's love. But it's a strong love, it's a powerful love. This is the sort of love that binds families together, that binds spouses together, that even when the attraction starts to wane, even when the affection starts to strain, we stay together and we stand together because I love you. This is the sort of love in friendships that does more than say, yeah, buddy, I'm there for you. Love you. What's actually there? When no one else will come to move a couch, you'll do it. When no one else wants to field the phone call too late at night because something terrible has happened, you will do it. When no one else will walk over there and put an arm around you, you will do it. That is divine love. That is sacrificial love. That is agape. That is caritas. That is the love of the Holy Spirit. To say that we're united in the Holy Spirit and can be one body of Christ, ain't no way to do that without love. A big love, a strong love, an all-encompassing and even fiery love. Some of you don't even like each other. But love binds us together beyond that, deeper than that. When we're irritated or annoyed, when we're confused or frustrated, it is this agape, this caritas, the divine love, the Holy Spirit love that says we are in this together for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of you. I'm there for you. I'm there with you. Annoyances aside, who cares? I've got love. God gave me love, and He's given it in me, and it's going to you. That's the Holy Spirit. I personally don't have enough. My love would run out, maybe far more quickly than I'd like to admit. So where does this supply come from? How are we going to get a little more love when we're not feeling it, or when you're not doing it for me? How are we going to stay bound together? How are we going to stay getting up in the morning and working? How are we going to stay supporting each other as friends? How are we going to stay being united as the body of Christ? How are we going to make a difference in the wider world and transform things if it's not the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is not just a one-time gift of tongues of fire, but it is a living fire inside of us? The gift of the Holy Spirit is to live in us every day. Oh, just ran out of love because you have pushed my buttons one too many times. Holy Spirit, fill me right back up. I don't have it in me. It's not Dave love. Dave love ran out a long time ago, but the Holy Spirit refills me, refuels me, refreshes me. You want to talk about the springs of living water? What do springs do? The water just kind of comes right up from the ground. In our lives, it might feel like the well of our love runs dry, but the spring of the Holy Spirit is living water, and it keeps on flowing straight up. That's how we stick together. That's how we do what we need to do. That's how we work. That's how we play. That's how we pray. That's how we are bound together and united. It's fiery, it's strong, it flows deep within us again, and day after day after day. That's pronounced. That is the Holy Spirit, and that is divine love. It may look like fire, it may look like a dove. But make no mistake, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come down, to be in us and with us to be around us and act through us. Remember what it is that we are asking. Come down, O love divine. Seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardor glowing. O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing.